Tabat for that long. Mat Bhakti Yogina. By devotional service to me. Didhinha. Firm. Yavat. Until. Rajaha. Passionate attraction. Nirashita is eliminated. Manaha of the mind. Kashaya the dirt. Translation. Canto 11, chapter 28, text number 27, translation. Nevertheless, until by firmly practicing devotional service to me, one has completely eliminated from his mind all contamination of material passion, one must very carefully avoid associating with the material modes which are produced by my illusory energy. Purport. The word tathapi in this verse indicates that even though the material nature is non-different from the Supreme Lord, as elaborately described in this chapter, one who has yet to conquer material desire should not artificially associate with material things, declaring them to be non-different from the Lord. Thus, one aspiring to be Krishna conscious should not loosely associate with women, claiming them to be non-different from the personality of Godhead, for by such imitation of the most advanced devotees, one will become a sense gratifier. A neophyte devotee who presumes himself liberated is impelled by the mode of passion to become falsely proud of his position, and thus he neglects the actual process of devotional service to the Lord. One must have firm and steady engagement in the loving service to the Lord under the direction of higher authorities, then advancement in Krishna consciousness will be easy and sublime. So read the translation again. Tathapi sangaha parivalajami yo guneshu maya rachiteshu tavat madhvaki yogina jidhena yavad rajo nirashita manaha kasaya. Nevertheless, until by firmly practicing devotional service to me, one has completely eliminated from his mind all contamination of material passion, one must very carefully avoid associating with the material modes which are produced by my illusory energy. So, very interesting verse here with different levels of understanding. Now, previously in this chapter, Lord Krishna, in explaining the process of knowledge, jnana, jnana yoga, that knowledge which allows us to contemplate the Supreme Absolute Truth. Krishna has described that the Lord is non-different from his different energies. The Lord's energies manifest primarily as three. The spiritual energy, which has the qualities of Satchidananda, eternality, consciousness and blissfulness, and the material energy, which is where the manifestations are not eternal but are temporary, and composed of matter, which is a product of the mode of ignorance, false ego and the mode of ignorance, and therefore the cause of all sorts of suffering. And the third principal energy of the Lord is his also a spiritual energy, but the marginal energy, which is a living entity, which can, being very tiny, tiny particles of the Lord's spiritual energy, the living entity can come under the influence of the material energy of the Lord, or can come under the influence of the spiritual energy of the Lord. So, because all three energies of the Lord are His manifestations, His energies, they are non-different from Him, in the same way that the energy of the sun or the sunshine is non-different from the sun. So, now in explaining that, one may think that because the material energy is also non-different from the Lord, therefore in one sense, if I associate with the material energy, I'm actually associating with the Lord. Of course that's a misconception, but someone may think like that. And therefore, one may be associating with the Lord through the material energy only, and in doing that, one may consider that he or she is on the same platform as a very elevated devotee who's also considered to be in the association of the Lord. So, you know, throughout the world we know that there are, you know, in various spiritual traditions, Christianity, the Muslim tradition, the Sikh tradition, the Buddhist tradition, or Krishna consciousness, that there are great saints who are understood that they have had direct communion with the Lord, you know, very, very elevated personalities. And someone may artificially consider that I am on the same platform, that they're considered to be associating with the Lord, but I'm also associating with the Lord because I'm associating with His material energy, and the material energy is non-different from the Lord. But there is a difference in that one can associate with the Supreme Lord directly under the influence of His spiritual energy, and without any covering of the material energy, or on a lower platform, one is associating with the Lord indirectly through the via media of the material energy. Now, in the second case, because there is a covering of the material energy, it means there's a covering of ignorance, and the person on that level actually has very little realization of the transcendental nature of the Lord. A person who is associating with the Lord only through the material energy actually thinks that the Lord is can only understand the Lord as a material personality. So in other words, such a person can't really understand the Lord. So therefore, one may think that personalities such as Lord Sri Krishna has a material body, and that when the impersonal Brahman or spiritual effulgence manifests pastimes in this world, he assumes that impersonal Brahman assumes a material body in the form of different incarnations, and when those pastimes are over, that the impersonal Brahman resumes its original impersonal feature and gives up the material forms of the incarnation. So one may feel that the form of Krishna is a material body, the form of Matsya, the fish incarnation, is a material body, the form of Lord Narasimha Dev is a mature body. In this way, one who can only associate with the Lord through the material energy can only appreciate the Lord as a material entity. That they cannot actually perceive the real transcendental nature of the Lord, nor can they perceive their own eternal spiritual form as the eternal servant of the Lord. One who associates with the Lord only through the material energy actually identifies oneself as the material body. One may think that just as the Lord accepts a material body for his incarnations, that I too have accepted a material body for my pastimes. So in this way, one can first of all wrongly equate that one is doing a similar thing to the Lord by appearing in the world in a material form, although one is a spiritual entity. So there's a wrong conception of the Lord, because the Lord actually never accepts the material form. He comes in his own spiritual, eternal form. So that is a misconception of the Lord's situation. And a material conception of one's own situation is that one may think that I am just like the Lord, that I am accepting a material form for my pastimes in the world. And that is also a wrong conception, because the living entity is nothing like the Lord. The Lord comes when he pleases, but the living entity is forced to accept the material body and forced to suffer birth, death and old age and disease, and forced to change his body again and again and again in the process of birth, death, old age and disease. So that is nothing like the Lord accepting pastimes. When the Lord appears, he comes in his own spiritual form, and when he leaves in his own spiritual form. There is no birth, there is no death, there is no old age, there is no disease. But the living entity, when the living entity appears, he is forced to accept a body which is not his own body, and in that body he suffers old age, disease and so many different problems, and then he is forced to relinquish that body, to give it up, and then to accept another body which is also not his factual self. So that although there appears to be similarities, when one tries to see spiritual life only through associating the material energy, one gets a misconception of the Lord and one gets a misconception of oneself, and ultimately that misconception, one sees things in a material platform and one brings the Lord down to one's own material platform, and not understanding spiritual life, one equates that the Lord and myself are on the same platform. I'm on this platform. They bring the Lord down to the same material platform. It means we're both on the same platform, like this. So, in this way, one who associates with the material Lord cannot actually understand the Lord, nor oneself. And if one cannot understand the Lord or oneself, then how can one understand the process of devotional service, which is the eternal relationship between the Supreme Lord and the spirit soul? Not understanding the process of devotional service means that one accepts one's material activities as somehow a relationship with the Lord on the spiritual platform, which it's not. So therefore one actually neglects devotional service and just continues with one's material activities. And therefore we see that in this world there are different yoga groups who foolishly think that by their sex life, unrestricted sex life, that they actually acting on a spiritual platform in relationship with the Supreme. So we see how here, one may consider, why go to so much trouble to understand this philosophy? Because if the philosophy is not correctly understood, what is reality, then one will act in illusion. And that illusion can sometimes put the living entity in such a ludicrous, ridiculous situation where they're engaging in sinful activities or actually take them to hellish situations for all sorts of suffering, and that they're considering that that, illicit, sinful, degraded activity is in fact their activities in relationship with the Supreme Lord on the spiritual platform. So it's a very ridiculous platform, but because they have not heard the correct concept of reality, therefore you see people in this world do all sorts of very strange things in the name of service to the Lord. Just like we see that we have people in this world, terrorism, there's a lot of violence. Instead of taking up the actual principles of religion, they manufacture their own concept of, they engage in murder, violence against innocent women, children, animals, innocent men, and they will torture these people, murder them, rape them, do so many horrible things. And because they haven't understood the actual reality of life, they take this, that this is my intimate relationship with the Lord on the spiritual platform. See? And that is the danger, of course, of one only associating with the material energy and thinking that the Lord is the material energy, and therefore whatever I do in the material energy is ultimately association with the Lord. So whatever I do in this material world, I'm actually just interacting with the Lord. Here I am killing this innocent child. Yes, I'm associating with the Lord. Here I am having unrestricted sex life. Yes, I'm associating with the Lord. Like this. So here the Srimad Bhagavatam, saves the living entities from this embarrassing, foolish, situation whereby they're paving their way to hell and thinking they're going the opposite direction. And so the Bhagavatam is saying that we should understand that, as long as there is strong, passionate desires to enjoy the material energy, we should understand we are under the influence of the material energy. If we have a strong, passionate desire to enjoy the things of this material world with this material body and mind, material mind, we are actually associating with the material energy, even though that energy is coming from the Lord, and that means we're not properly situated. It is not the correct way to associate with the Lord. Just like the government, everyone is associating in one way with the system of government. Everyone who lives in Australia actually is associating with the government through the system that the government has set up. Even if someone comes just for a visit for 2 weeks, basically they begin to associate with the government through the system and everything that the government has set up. But although everyone is associating, you can associate in the proper way or you can associate with the government in the improper way. And if one associates with the government in the improper way, they'll be penalised. So, in the same way, we can all associate with the Supreme Lord, but if we associate with, in the proper way, which means taking, trying to come to the spiritual platform, and not trying to enjoy the material energy, then that is the path of liberation. But if we try to enjoy illegally, unrightfully, unlawfully the material energy, that is the wrong way to associate with the Supreme Lord, because actually the material energy is the property of the Lord and is meant to be engaged in His service. So when that mentality, you know, is there in the purified, liberated soul, that whatever they see in the material world, they see that this is the property of the Lord, meant to be engaged in His service, then, and there are no traces of that passionate desire to enjoy the material energy, that person is properly associating with the Lord. But until that state, one should be very careful. That's the point here. One should be very, very careful that, you know, understanding that within the heart, you know, there is desires to claim the property of the Lord as one's own, and to utilize the property of the Lord in a way that the Lord did not intend for us to use it. Those desires are there within the heart. And while those desires are there, therefore we should be very careful, act very carefully, because if we place ourselves in a situation of temptation, or let's say, that's another word similar to that. It's probably that just like people who are, you know, giving up cigarettes. They have to be very, very careful that they, you know, they can't just leave a packet of cigarettes on the bench. if you're smoking cigarettes, you know that while you're trying to give it up, it's better you don't even see them. It's better you don't see anyone with a packet of cigarettes. It's better you don't do anything. In fact, you can't do any of the things. Just like some people at work, they may go out and they have a cigarette at smoker. You know, they call it smoker. It's a break, but they call it smoker for lunchtime. So you have to change your habits. That whereas you usually would go outside with the other people and automatically light, so then you stop even going outside with those people, because you know if I go outside in my break and they're all smoking, I'm going to start smoking. Like this. So a person trying to give up a really bad habit like that, they actually have to avoid those situations, those personalities and those objects that, you know. So in the same way, this verse is saying the same thing, that a person on the spiritual path, you know, while their heart is not completely purified, even though they're, by and large, they're understood the message of the Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and He has a spiritual form and that He has a spiritual energy and there's a material. They understand the philosophy and that we should go back to Godhead and we should engage in devotion. That is understood, but they're not completely purified. They should be very careful not to put themselves in a situation where the bad habits over millions and millions of lifetimes can just again, you know, come out. So it's just like sometimes, you know, in a pond, just like we see the pond outside in the courtyard. Now, if you go out there and you look in the pond, you can look down and you can see the fish, the goldfish swimming around, because the water, it looks to be clear. But if you get in there and stir your hand around in that water, you'll see how much muck there is on the bottom. You know, it'll all come up, and then you won't be able to see those fish at all. And then those you know, those goldfish even could be, even the goldfish could even die by stirring up the muck in the water. So in the same way, our hearts like that, that as we make progress in devotional service, some of the muck goes to the bottom of the heart and some of the muck comes to the top. If anyone's ever made ghee, anyone here ever made ghee? Yeah. When you make ghee, we used to do it in the old days, we never used to buy ghee, we used to just make it, you know. So we'd go and buy big blocks of butter like this, put it in the pot, and you slowly melt it overnight, and you come back in the morning. On the bottom of the pot, you've got this much butter salts, and on the top you've got the butter fats, like that. And in the middle is this beautiful clear ghee. So the idea is not to stir them in again. Right? You scoop the butter fats off the top, you pour out the ghee, and you leave the butter salts on the bottom. And then you have this beautiful ghee. So actually devotional service is a lot like that, that when you actually, within the heart, you're separating the muck from the pure state of the heart. Some of it comes to the top and some of it goes to the bottom. Some of it goes to the top means that sometimes devotees, when they begin devotional service, it's almost like the mind rebels in one sense, and some desires which have been a little bit dormant almost come flooding forward and can attack a young practitioner on the spiritual path. And sometimes in the beginning some devotees feel that they have more material desires than before they started chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah, it can be like that, because what is happening is some of the muck is coming to the top. It's always been, but it's not a fact that one has more material desires, but all of a sudden they're on the surface and one can see them. Gee, I didn't even know that was in my heart. That's the real point. We should look and say, oh, gee, was that there? Whoo! You know. But what we have to do is very carefully scoop, oh, get rid of that, scoop that off. We don't want that. But we can recognize it. Gee, all that come out of my heart. I was chanting Hare Krishna. But one may wrongly think that I'm chanting Hare Krishna and, you know, I'm actually going backwards like this. But if we recognize, oh, these are the things, they've come to the top, I can recognize them. Before I couldn't recognize them, I couldn't see them. Krishna's put them within my view now. Now I can easily scoot them off because I can recognize them, I can see them. And we keep the purification. And then there are some things in the bottom of the heart. I mean, again, we've got to be careful not to stir the pot and have them go back through the ghee. And that's what this verse is saying, that we have to be very careful not to reassociate with the material energy until we've completely separated all the muck, and then all we're left with is just the pure ghee. At that point, at that very elevated point, when the heart is completely purified of any trace of material desire, then even one associates with the material energy in all sorts of different ways, it has no effect on that pure soul. But until one comes to that point, one has to be very, very careful. And one should be very careful not to assume that, yes, oh, I have been chanting Hare Krishna for 2 weeks now, I'm on that pure platform. Or, you know, one may think, yes, I've been chanting for 10 years. Oh, yes, I'm on that platform. Even if one has been chanting for 30 years, if that one has not properly separated and purified the heart, one should still not think one is on that platform. So therefore, sometimes we see very, very elevated devotees, and they may visit the temple, and some of their activities appear to be very, very simple. That, you know, they speak very speak very simple. They may speak the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam and may not speak any real, apparently very high philosophy. They may not apparently be discussing the confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna. They may be just talking, you're not this body or like this. And one may think, gee, I know that philosophy. We appear to be on the same sort of platform. And, they may lead kirtan, and their kirtans may be very simple, nothing, not that they have some extraordinary voice or musical skills, and one may think, well, we appear to be very, very similar, I can do that. And they may not appear to be, selling massive amounts of books or, doing any huge projects. They're just associating with devotees and discussing and giving some classes and having some. So it appears that they're doing some very simple things. And one may think, gee, they're very similar. I can do all those things. So that devotee is getting so much respect. So basically, I'm on that same platform, and therefore I'm due the same respect as that, very elevated devotee. But the one thing that they cannot see is that that devotee's heart is completely pure, like the ghee, where there's not a trace of the, impurities, and our heart is still dangerously, a little topping and something down the bottom which we don't want to stir up. So there's a big difference. And what will happen, of course, is that if in our neophyte state we place ourselves in the same situation as that advanced devotee, we place ourselves in a very dangerous situation by neglecting what we need to be doing to protect ourselves from the dangers that sit within our own heart. So we place ourselves in a very, very dangerous situation. Here it describes that a neophyte devotee who presumes himself liberated is impelled by the mode of passion to become falsely proud of his position, and thus he neglects the actual process of devotional service to the Lord. So what happens is when one falsely thinks that they're on a very elevated platform, the same as very advanced devotees, they neglect the regulative principles that they should be following, and in this way they place themselves in a dangerous situation whereby the muck within the heart can again be stirred up and cause havoc in one's heart, within one's consciousness, in this way one can again become completely covered by the material energy. One's advancement can be checked very, very strongly on the spiritual path. Another danger, of course, is that when one places oneself in the position of a very advanced devotee, one doesn't have the skills to deal with those things that advanced devotee is dealing with. So, for instance, a very advanced devotee, what are they dealing with? Generally, they're dealing with the deity of the Lord. Right? So, they're the very advanced devotees. They have full access to the deities. They can, go on into the deity room and, worship the Lord. They can touch the Lord's feet. They can dress the Lord. They can perform so many different services for the Lord. But because they're always seeing that the Lord doesn't have a material body, they treat the Lord in just the same way, knowing that He is fully present there. And that's why I say, I see so many devotees sitting with their back towards the deities and what have you. And if one was in the mentality that Krishna is sitting on the altar no one would ever sit with their back towards him. It's said that Radharani never turns her back on Krishna. I see so many devotees, even devotees who claim to be big devotees, and they sit with their back towards the Lord. And that means they cannot understand fully, to some degree, that Krishna is sitting on that altar. Because one would never do that. So, but so if a neophyte devotee has intimate association with the deities, but because the proper respect is there, they're going to commit so many offences because they don't have the spiritual skills and intelligence and vision to interact with the Supreme Lord. Also, if one places oneself in the position of an advanced devotee, one is also going to have to deal with devotees in the same way that an advanced devotee does. So many devotees will be offering respect, touching the feet, bowing down, offering so much facility. And in this way, if one is not properly situated, one can become very proud. One can, be swamped with so much facility which is coming one's way, which is meant to go for the Lord, but because a devotee may still have desires to enjoy the material world, they may utilize that facility for their own personal benefit. They'd be overcome by the opulence that is maybe there. You see, the pure devotees of the Lord, you can just send them millions of dollars, properties, this, that and the other, and every farthing, every penny, every grain of rice gets used in the service of the Lord. But if you give such opulence to a devotee who's not on that platform, they'll just begin to enjoy and become enamored. And with so many people offering praise and offering respects and bowing down, they'll think, yes, I really am a great personality. I really am wonderful because I see that, so many people are, I have such great qualities, I see every day people offering me respects and that I really am a good devotee. I'm a big, personality. One can very easily think like that. But the devotee with a pure heart, no matter how many people are offering respects and praise and what have you, they always see, I am this tiny, tiny little spiritual spark. I have this privilege of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is beyond my qualification, beyond what I deserve, but somehow, a pure devotee always remains, the more they are blessed by the Supreme Lord, and the more they are, praised for their spiritual qualifications, the more they feel humbled by that experience. That here I am, this tiny, 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 infinitesimal little spiritual spark, and somehow or another, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has placed me in this position like this. So kind is the Lord, and so tiny am I at this, and whatever I am doing is by His grace. So the devotee becomes more and more humbled. But one who's not on that platform, they become, very puffed up. So I am such a big devotee. So many people are offering me praise and respect like that. So therefore, basically, what I say goes, and what I want people should give me, and many people are insignificant compared to me. I can treat them anyway. I am so important. This one is insignificant, so I can treat this one in an offhand way. Krishna knows that I'm such a big devotee. There's no offence there. Someone has come, for something. I just, rudely, reply to them, send them on the way. It doesn't matter because I'm such a big devotee. In this way, very, very dangerous for a young devotee to assume the role and position and the service of an advanced devotee, or to, you know, not see the difference between the elevated spiritual personality and one's own self, knowing that within our own hearts we have, you know, so many, you know, contaminations still that we have to very carefully, you know, purify our hearts from, whereas they're on a different platform where they're, you know, their hearts are spotless. So there are, you know, so many big differences. So this verse here is giving so many warnings how we should always just, you know, remain within our position, understanding we have some purification to go, to be therefore very strictly follow the process of devotional service, which is protecting us from the contamination within our heart, and more so, even more dangerous in giving up the process of devotional service, never place ourselves in the position of being an advanced devotee when we're not on that platform. Very, very dangerous. Not only is it dangerous for one individually, but it creates a danger for the whole community collectively as well, which is another whole class. So I'll just leave it there. If anyone has any comments or questions about anything there. Satisfied?
Yeah. Referring here on the service, so why is a social worship attendant's chair actually? Why can't it be there next to the other kind of seat?
What's that?
It's like, you know, a special skill. It's just, I just found it simple.
Yeah.
He's a social worship attendant.
Yeah.
So why don't we just say the chair is there next to the other kind of chair, seat, and salon?
Generally what we do is we try and mould our lives in such a way that we adjust our lives so that we can accommodate to serve the pure devotees and the deities. But we don't try to adjust the activities of the deities of the pure devotees to accommodate our activities. That's the process. Any other questions? Yep.
So, like you mentioned, like we all are very contaminated, like for myself, we are contaminated because for millions of us, like we have. But the mind, when we start practicing to be Krishna consciousness, the mind will always be attracted towards the same propensity. So when I probably mentioned that we should be aloof for others, we should not associate with that. If you can please elaborate.
Yeah, well, therefore, what we need to do is be always be associating with Krishna, and the way to do that is to practice devotional service according to the platform that we're on. So, for instance, a very, very neophyte devotee is advised to keep very close association with devotees and advanced devotees, especially advanced devotees, and the spiritual master as much as possible. Because the moment they're out of the association of the advanced devotees, Maya just immediately grabs them. So therefore they're generally not sent out as preachers. A little, but they become in a dangerous situation. The Majjhima Adhikaris, a little more fixed, and their devotional, so they associate with the Lord through their practice of devotional service, which is to worship the deities and to preach. They're a little firmer in their faith, in their convictions, therefore they can even venture out to some degree into the material energy, associate with the materialists, helping them to become Krishna conscious, but to a degree. There are some materialistic people that even the preachers avoid if they're not on the topmost platform. that if they associate too much, even in preaching, they actually will become materialist again. So even the preacher has to be very careful. And therefore Prabhupada set up for the Majjhima Adhikaris, the middle class devotees, that they perform a morning program in the morning, which purifies the heart of all the contamination that may have been there from the previous day. They go out and preach during the day, or do their particular services to assist the preaching movement, and in the evening they again have kirtan, read and associate with devotees and take bath. See, so it's called the ISKCON sandwich. The purification in the morning, purification in the evening, the preaching in the middle. That's the ISKCON sandwich. Often these days devotees don't do the last slice on top. At the end of the day, they don't properly purify again after a day of service. They don't study something in the evening in association with devotees. They don't properly associate, and they don't have kirtan. They may just do that in the morning, then work, come home, and space out. And that's dangerous. So that's, therefore, we should do that. Now, a very, very advanced devotee, they're not under any regular principles. They can associate with even the most materialistic person and never become turned. In fact, they have the ability to turn even the greatest materialist and atheist into devotees. And even if they don't perform a strict morning or evening program, it doesn't even dint. It makes no effect on. They do not become contaminated. So they have a different level of, but we cannot imitate that. And what happens is that sometimes we see that what some of the elevated devotees are doing, one is falsely imitating, and that's where the problem starts. So the answer to the question is, how do we remain always fixed? Is we perform devotional service. That gives us association with Krishna. But we do that devotional service as to whether we're a neophyte, so there is a sort of a mood about that, which is more always keeping, directly in the contact of advanced devotees, and not as much preaching. And then the Majjhima Adhikaris, also the strict morning, for everyone, the strict morning program, strict evening program, a lot of preaching in the middle. And for the Uttama Adhikaris, they're, not under any obligation, but they may perform the regulative principles strictly just to show others how to follow. And for the sake of strictness, and for the sake of caution. Narada Muni says in the Narada Bhakti Sutra that even a devotee who's actually on the platform, who's completely pure in the heart, knowing how dangerous is the association of the material energy, just for the sake of caution and strictness, even though they don't have to, they may still follow very strictly like that. And he says that is a very good policy. See? What to speak of others. But they don't have to. But often they will, just out of caution and out of strictness.